All right, good afternoon. Thanks for joining me. These are the weird session slots, these afternoon theater sessions. They're kind of like speed dating or ADD theater, so I appreciate you being here. I'm going to move a little fast because we only have a little bit of time together. This session is called Accelerating UWP App Development and User Acceptance with Prototypes. It is billed as a UWP session. I will tell you a true confession that everything I'm going to show you is equally applicable across any kind of programming platform or environment. This is really about just best practices and really trying to just speed up the development cycle. How many of you guys are developers? Anyone? Product manager, business analyst, program? Okay, great, two, awesome. I am not a developer. My name is Ken Rosen. I'm with Infragistics. We are a developer tools and productivity company. We've been around for about 25 years, bringing controls and tools to developers to help you guys make great experiences. My background's on the product management side. I actually just recently came from 19 years at Microsoft. And at Microsoft, I had just lots and lots of experience working with different development teams on different projects. And my life always seemed to be some kind of a variation on what I think has actually become one of my like favorite all-time like business jokes. Have you guys ever heard this one? So there's a developer's spouse, significant other, roommate, let's say, right? Sends him or her out to the store, says, oh, if you're going to the store, buy a gallon of milk. And if there are eggs, buy a dozen. What does the developer come back with? Anybody guess? A dozen gallons of milk. Why? Because they had eggs, right? And the reason I love this joke is because you can't really tell who the butt of the joke is. Is it the developer for taking it literally? Is it the developer's roommate for being maddeningly imprecise? It really just depends on which side of the fence you're on, right? And as a product manager, as a developer, probably we've all had this experience of being on a development project. And you start out the project and everybody is defining the requirements that need to be met. And everybody nods their heads and says, yep, we got it. Yeah, everybody says they read those documents, they signed off on them. Maybe they at least said they read them. You signed off on them and the development teams go and they do work and they deliver a build, and then the user scratch their head and go, that's not exactly what I had in mind. I see a couple of heads nodding, so you guys have had this experience before, right? And that happens because, you said on here, great minds don't think alike, they think differently, right? And this is kind of a nonsensical example because everybody would presumably know what this person meant, but in a real business environment, the business stakeholders, the clients, who know their business and customers really well, may be thinking in shorthand or general scenarios, but the developers who are focused on very specific rules and requirements that have to be met need that literal thinking. And so what happens is, probably in this case, what do you think happened to this developer who got home with the 12 gallons of milk? Probably got sent back to the store, right? So they had to go and redo that task. And that's what happens, and that's why it's really important for us to talk about the concept of prototyping. Because studies have shown that development teams are spending up to 40 to 50% of their effort and their budget on rework that could have been avoidable. We're never going to get it right on the first delivery. But it shouldn't take multiple iterations of things that could have been caught up front. And it gets expensive, too. Fixing something in the requirements gathering phase is easy. It's free, basically. There's been no development work yet. Once the design work starts, it goes up by about a factor of 10. And by the time you actually have done coding and have delivered something, it goes up to about a factor of 100. So the idea is to capture this stuff as early as possible. Now, how many of you guys, if you're developers, work with UX designers? Great. So if you work with UX designers, you're probably familiar with the concept of wireframing. How about if you don't even work with the UX designers, how many of you guys do wireframing? Yeah. Wireframing is great because it gives you a chance to kind of visualize what your application is going to look like. Wireframes are blueprints. They're skeletons. They basically show what goes where. They allow you to lay out how the application presumably should function, right? So here we can see an example of a smartphone app. We don't know exactly what the task is, but it looks like they probably were going to log in, sign in. There's a check mark there. It says, well done. There's some text there, and you get a kind of a sense of what the screen is supposed to be about. But what you can't tell here is what's supposed to happen. What is the user supposed to do? Is that check mark a reward saying you did it right? Are they supposed to click that check mark to go on to the next stage? What actually is supposed to happen here? You can't really tell. That's the limitation of a wireframe. Who does prototyping? Okay, awesome, quite a few of you, great. If you do prototyping, you know the difference between a wireframe and a prototype. A prototype is actually a testable simulation. It lets the user interact with the application to be. Instead of just creating a flat picture, you actually wire it up. You actually define, this is what the elements of the UI will be. If the user clicks here, we want to change the state somehow and produce this effect, this new screen, this new result on the screen. So a good prototype gives the user a chance to fully engage and interact. It's not a live app. There's no data in it. There's no ability to go out and interact or connect to anything in a real environment. It's just simply a dummy mock-up that is usable of the actual application. Those of you who prototype, what do you use for your prototypes? Sorry, saying it?
POC.
POC?
POC are getting the user
access. You do a proof of concept.
Yeah.
So this gentleman said he does a proof of concept to get the user feedback up front. Just out of curiosity, what kind of a tool do you use for that?
So there are many. It's not just one. So I'm an enterprise architect, actually. So for us, what business likes is like the application itself build a POC, just take the database out of the
situation. Okay. So you can actually just go ahead and code and build the application the way it's supposed to work and not worry about the connectivity pieces, right? Somebody said Axure?
Yeah.
Yep, Axure is a great example of a tool that allows prototyping. There's actually a bunch that are on the market. There's Proto.io, there's Envision App. Yeah, so there's all different ways to do it. The idea is that you just do it, period. Now, there's all different kinds of tools that are out there. They each are kind of optimized for different things, right? Some are more optimized for fidelity, so you can get more of a polished UI. My company, Infragistics, has a product that I'm going to show you called Indigo Studio. Indigo Studio is optimized more for usability testing and collaborative feedback. The idea there is not so much the polish in the UI, but just making sure that the flow makes sense. But the idea is that if you prototype up front, if you actually make part of the requirements gathering process, bringing people together, the end customer, the development teams, the product management or business analysts, and everybody looks at this thing, uses this thing, and goes, yeah, that's what we want, right? That's the experience we want. Then you're much more likely to end up with a business requirements document that's going to be accurate and relatively unchanged from its initial state to its final state when the product is delivered. Studies have shown, like I mentioned earlier, you're going to save money, you're going to save time. So I'll show you an example of a UWP app you guys are probably familiar with, right? Who's seen this one? If you have Windows 10, you probably know this app built in. If you have a Windows phone, you've seen it built in a phone form factor. This is the Windows app that's built in. And what I had a designer in my organization do is build a prototype. Let me actually bring this up. And so this prototype was built using Indigo Studio that we bring to market at Infragistics. And whether you're using Axure or Proto.io or whatever your tool of choice is, you have the ability to create these fully functional simulations. Let's get that antivirus window out of there, right? So I can go ahead and I can click on the different elements of the screen. I can try to change the date. You know, this is actually not showing you. You're not seeing what I'm seeing. Hang on a second. Sorry about that. There we go. Now, let me bring that back up. Okay, so now you can see, here's my prototype. So you can see me interacting with it. I can go ahead and I can change the days. You can see the screen display. Now this is not a real live weather app. First of all, these dates have already passed. I have no idea if these were the actual temperatures on that date. But the idea is that if this was an actual development project and I was trying to create a weather app and I wanted to get some feedback from users, we could see exactly how this thing was meant to work. Right? And rather than flip back and forth on the slide, I'm going to actually show you a couple other things while I'm here. Here's the same thing in a desktop form factor, because UWP apps can be in a mobile form factor, like a phone, on a desktop. Now, as a user, while I'm going back and forth and experiencing this, depending on your prototyping tool, you may be able to provide comments as well. So with Indigo Studio, you can actually take your prototype once you've developed it, publish it into the cloud, we host it. You can provide this link to your users. They can go ahead and they can try it on their own devices. They can try it on a tablet, they can try it on a desktop, they can try it on a phone, and they can provide feedback. So I'm gonna go here and go, well, nothing's really happening when I click on the 18th or the 19th. The designer presumably didn't wire it up. I can say, well, nothing's happening when I click on later days. This immediately gets put into the cloud with the prototype. Any question?
Can you specify which device it's going to be on? Because I know sometimes, you know, like iOS.
Yeah, so the question was, can I specify which device that this is going to be for? Yeah, when I actually go into Indigo Studio, I'll actually switch there now so you can see. This is actually the tool that I use to create it. You can see I can select here. In this case, it's a mobile environment. I can say it's really small on this screen. But I can go ahead and I can change it. And I can say I want to do it on an iPhone, I can do it on a Nexus, I can do it on a generic Windows phone. There's different types of controls that you can see here over on the right for Windows Phone or Universal Windows. I can go into, let's see, iOS controls if I want. So if you're doing different types of applications, we have the controls that are already built in for you to do that. When you actually run the application from another device, if you're actually running it on the device it was intended for, you won't actually even see the phone shell around it. You'll just see the native resolution display in it. Right? So most prototyping tools allow you to do something like this. They allow you to create a prototype on your desktop. They allow you to share them into the cloud and get feedback. One cool thing that Indigo Studio does is it also allows you to do remote unmoderated usability testing at scale. And I can show you how that works. So once I have my prototypes published into the cloud, I can actually wire up a usability study. I can say, I want to know if people are able to figure out how to pull up the weather for subsequent days. So I've gone ahead, just in the interest of time, and I've made this study up front. I can go ahead and say, I want to invite someone to this study. I'll copy the link. I would presumably email this to someone. Here's my experience when I bring it up. I get an introductory message thanking me for participating. I can start the study. I get the prototype. I'm going to start the task. My task is to figure out a way to display the weather for the following day. This is a very simple task. So I'm going to come down here. I'm going to click here. Then I'm going to go over here and say that I'm done. I could provide feedback if I wanted to. Now when I go back and see the result, I can see that one person took this test. They successfully accomplished it. I can see the statistics about how long it took people to accomplish it. I can view a click map, and I can actually see where they were clicking around. If they got confused and clicked in the wrong place, I can see where they did that. But all this is done without any code at all, right? This is actually part of the envisioning process, the requirements gathering process. So by this point, I've actually gotten some feedback from my users that tells me that if I go ahead and I have my developers build the product that works just like this, they're probably going to be pretty happy with the result and able to use it. Do you have a question?
Indigo is
not made by Microsoft. It's made by Infragistics. That's the company that I work for. But we create Indigo to support all cross-platform environments. So you can make Windows desktop apps, you can make phone apps, you can make iOS, Android. You can pretty much go in and just define, you know, if their controls aren't already there, it's pretty easy to mock up your own. It's fully customizable. So you can create what we call screen parts. You can create new controls of your own and then just reuse them. What it doesn't do is it doesn't actually generate the code for the app itself, right? So this is really just about prototyping and figuring out what the experience is designed to be. You can export this to PDF. You can get CSS assets out of it, but still you're going to need to then take this experience, go to your dev team, and have them build it. This is really about the upfront experience. Other questions? Yes?
Yeah, what about the version control for those protocols? Do you interface with Bitbucket, or do you have your own?
Yeah, so the question was, what about version control? We actually do not have version control in this release. It is coming very, very shortly in our next release. So there'll be a version history. You'll be able to track the changes that are made and be able to roll back on that. Yeah. Yeah. What actually happens today is if you are a user on Indigo, you get your own private workspace on our server, indigodesign.com. And other people can collaborate with you on that by taking the study and providing feedback and comments, but it doesn't allow teams of people to be editing and managing the projects within that. That's going to be a feature in our next release. You can. So the question was, can you make these prototypes private or public? Absolutely. When you share them, that's the first thing that it asks you is whether you want these to be publicly accessible or private as well. Yeah, so the question is, can you capture user stories? Yes, we actually do have a storyboard mode. So you can actually kind of lay out exactly how you want it to work, and then from there start to build your screens and states as well. On the tables over to the side, I actually have, there's just a one-page flyer on Indigo Studio, and there's a 30-day free unlimited functionality trial of that. So if you'd like to download it, poke around in it, try it out, you're more than welcome to. I would encourage it, in fact, and I will be here for a few minutes if you guys have additional questions.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, so the question is licensing on it. So today, individual licenses of Indigo are, I think, $495. You can get volume discounts as you scale up in licenses. The best way to do that is there's contact information on our website to contact our enterprise sales team, depending on how many you're looking for. I will say that as far as licenses goes, if the licenses are required to create and edit the prototypes, they're not required to view them, interact with them, leave feedback, do usability studies. All of those you can do on any device as long as it supports HTML. You don't need any kind of special client or license for that. So this is really just for the designer or developer who is working with the prototype. Yeah. So the question is that a yearly price? It is a today is a perpetual license, which means you pay once and you get to keep that forever. It comes with a year of updates. After the year, if you want to get continued updates and upgrades, there's a renewal price that's roughly about half of the initial price on that.
Is it a SaaS app or is it something you install?
It is something that you install. It is a desktop application. It's not a web service. It is a combination actually of a desktop app and a cloud server, basically, that hosts the prototypes.
And where the prototypes
So the question is, where are the prototypes hosted? The prototypes, you actually have a choice. You can save it to your desktop. You can publish it on our server, indigodesign.com. We also have a private server instance where you can actually have basically your own hosted prototype server that we offer to the enterprise as well. Yes, so the question is, if you're going to do usability studies, then you need to have your prototype hosted either on our website, indigodesign.com, but you still control access to that. You have to have a direct URL to be able to get that and participate that, or you can have your own private instance. So if you just require like extra security and you don't want it out there on the internet, you just want internal use only, you can do that.
So is that included in 400 or is that?
No, that's extra. So it's if you want a... I don't know the pricing off the top of my head for the internal server on that, but I can look it up after we're done for you.
Okay. Can it be used for web applications?
Yes. question is, can you use this for web application? Yes, you can. So like I mentioned earlier, you can define the form factor, you can define the resolution of the environment, but yes, you can build web apps, you can build desktop apps, you can build phone, you can build pretty much for any environment that you want. It has most of those built in. There's also a custom option. If for some reason there's a display with a proprietary kind of dimensions on it, you can do that as well. All right. Thank you guys very much. I'll be sticking around for a little bit once I take off the mic and I can look up the private server pricing for you and any other questions that you guys have. Thank you.